The Moon Master by Charles Diffin. Part 1. Now that's a mighty queer noise, Jerry Foster told himself. He dropped the pack from his shoulders and leaned closer to the canyon rim. Miles behind him was the last beaten trail. Jerry wanted peace and solitude and quiet, and now the quiet of the silent mountains was disturbed. From far below came a steady, muffled roar. Faint it was, and distant, but peculiar in its unvarying, unceasing rush. Not water, Jerry concluded. Not enough down there. Sounds like a wind that can't quit. Oh, well. He shrugged his shoulders and slipped into the straps of his pack. Then he went back again to the granite ledge. I wonder if there's a way down, he said. There was, but it took all of Jerry's strength to see him safely through. On a fan-shaped talus of spreading boulders he stopped. There was a limestone wall beyond, and at its base, from a crevice that was almost a cave, came a furious rush of air and steam. That's all mighty funny, mused Foster, and sniffed the air. There was no odor. And it is hot, he said. Nothing like that in my geology book. And what is beyond? Looks like concrete work, as if somebody had plastered up the cave. He picked his way quickly across the rock slope. It was hard going. Below him, the rocks and dirt went steep to the canyon floor. At its foot, the blast swept diagonally over the slope. He must see what lay beyond. Curious, he thought, curious, if that is nature's work, and a lot more so if it isn't. A rock rolled beneath his feet, another. He scrambled and fought desperately for foothold in the slipping earth. Then, rolling and clawing, he rode helpless on the slide straight toward the mysterious blast. He felt it envelop him, hot and strangling. His lungs were dry and burning. The blazing sun faded from the rocks. The world was dark. Darkness was still about him when he awoke, but it was cool. The air was sweet on his lips, and it was not entirely dark. He turned his head. He was in a room. On a rough-hewn table, a candle was burning. Its light cast flickering shadows on walls of stone. Rumbling in his ears was the sound of the blast that had overwhelmed him. It echoed, seemingly, from far back in the stone cliff. Jerry made a move to sit up. He found that his hands and feet were tied, his body bound to the rough board bed. At the sound of his stirring, a figure came out from the farther shadow. It was that of a man. Jerry looked at him in silence. He was tall, his thin erectness making him seem abnormal in the low room. The lean face was unshaven, and from under a thatch of black hair, a pair of deep-set eyes stared penetratingly at the figure on the rude bed. "Well," asked Jerry at length, "what's the big idea?" There was no reply, only the intent, staring eyes. "You got me out of that man-trap of yours," Jared continued. "You saved my life." The tall man finally spoke. "Yes, I saved your life. You missed the hottest part of the exhaust. I pumped you full of oxygen." "Then why tie me up like this?" Jerry Foster was frankly puzzled. "You're lucky to be alive. Spies are not always allowed." He interrupted himself abruptly. "You are a reporter," he stated. "Wrong," said Jerry Foster. "Who sent you?" "Nobody sent me. I heard the noise of your infernal blast furnace and came down to have a look." "Who sent you?" repeated the man. "Goodwin? The Stillwater crowd? Who was it?" "I don't know what you're talking about," protested Jerry. "I don't know who your Goodwin or Stillwater people are. I don't know who you are. I don't give a damn. Take these ropes off and cut out the melodrama. I'll go on my way, and I don't care if I never see you again."
"That's a lie." The tall figure leaned over to shake his bony fist.